We welcome you this morning to Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church to our morning worship service. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together in his name this morning. Wherever you're listening or looking into this service, we trust the Lord will meet with you today. The Bible says that we're to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, that we're to worship him in spirit and in truth. We're to worship toward his holy temple. May the Lord help us to do that today. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray for a sense of thy presence this morning to meet together in thy name. Lord, we thank thee that thou art in control of all of the circumstances. And we know, Lord, that thou wilt meet with us today and meet with thy people in their own homes and everyone who's listening in. And we pray that thou wilt encourage hearts this morning through thy word and challenge us and build us up as your people and save those that are not yet saved. We pray in Jesus' name. For God's eternal glory. Amen. We worship the Lord in the singing of Psalm 121, a psalm and hymns you'll hear were sung at other services in our church in the past. I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid. My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. If you have a hymn book there, it's in the psalm section, page 120, Psalm 100. And 21. Let us worship the Lord together. 21. Keep our seats as we sing through this psalm together. Stand for prayer. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we bow in thy holy presence this morning in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for our Savior. We thank thee for the fact that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank thee for his coming into the world. And we thank thee for the purpose of his coming. It was to save his people from their sins. And we thank thee for his life lived upon this earth, the perfect life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his sinlessness. And we thank thee, O God, for the miraculous acts that he performed. We thank thee for the words that he spoke while he walked upon the scene of time. And we thank thee, O God, for the death that he died, taking our sin upon himself. And Lord, purchasing a redemption for his people on Calvary's cross. We thank thee, O God, that he rose again the third day. And we rejoice for the victory of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, O God, that he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And there he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And we thank thee that he's coming again. And as the people of God, we look toward his coming, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
We thank thee, O God, that we look to that day when the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We thank thee for the great hope of the Christian church. And Father, we come today and we pray for thy presence with us as we meet around thy word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will come and speak to us and reveal Christ to us, even this day. We pray that thou wilt speak to every waiting heart, that thou wilt remember every need of every individual, of every home and family circle today. We pray that thou wilt come and that thou wilt encourage those that are discouraged, those that are downcast, uplift them. And we pray for those who have illness, that thou wilt heal them. Those who are at this time going through depression because of the situation or ongoing mental health problems, that thou wilt meet their needs. We pray for those who have physical problems of health today, those that are hospitalized. Think of our brother Wilmer waiting for this surgery. Pray for healing for Wilmer at this time. Thou wilt remember him and his family. We thank thee for your hand upon others that have been hospitalized but are now home and have come through surgery and various procedures. And we pray for thy healing touch. We pray for others who are going through treatments and waiting for further appointments. We pray that thou wilt be with all such today. Thou wilt meet the need of every individual. And we pray that thou wilt, O God, remember those, O God, in the workplace too, those in the front line and hospital work and key workers in this time of pandemic. Keep them safe. Those that have contacted this COVID-19, we pray, Father, for healing. Those that are hospitalized through it. Those that are very ill in ICU. Those that are very ill in hospital with it. Those that are ill at home. We pray that thou wilt meet every need. And that thou wilt touch everyone who's ill and restore to wanted health and strength again. Lord, we ask of thee for thy protection upon our society. Lord, we know that we have a duty as a church of Christ toward our neighbor, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us to manifest that neighborliness. And O God, that Christian love and that testimony in society seeking to protect others. In this time, O God, of pandemic, we ask of thee that thou wilt give wisdom to thy church in these days and all decision-making. We pray that the mind of the Lord may be made known and the will of God will be done. And that which is best, Lord, for society and in general will be done. Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us. And O God, that thou wilt guide us in these days and direct our ways according to thy will. Help us to do that which is pleasing in the sight of man. Lord, deliver us from selfishness. Help us, O God, to follow the rules, to follow the guidelines of our government and health authorities. We pray for our government, as thou hast told us to do. We pray that thou wilt remember them and guide them and direct them in these times, that, Lord, they might, O God, be led aright and do those things that are beneficial for the health and well-being of our society. We do commend them to thee, and we pray that thou wilt bless the vaccination process too. Thank you for all that's been done, the many thousands already that have been vaccinated. And we pray that this will give added protection to the most vulnerable and eventually to all of society. And we pray that in it all and through it all, we know that thy hand is at work, and we pray that people will see society in general, the world as a whole, will see the divine hand in this. And we pray that they will say that the Lord has done this. That has used professionals. That has used medical people. That has used doctors and nurses. That has used scientific people. People that have the ability to put these vaccinations together. That has used all of these people. And Lord, we thank thee for them. And we pray that thou wilt guide them all in these days. So hear us, Lord, we pray. Pray for thy presence. And bless thy word to every heart later in our service. And pour out thy spirit upon us. And this is the Lord's day. Help us to wait in our homes this afternoon, even for some time in prayer, to remember our land and to pray for the salvation of souls and for a great revival to come in these dark and sinful days in which we live. We pray thy blessing upon us now. in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. Well, boys and girls, we've been thinking about the story of Moses in the Old Testament. And of course, we've been thinking about what happened in the land of Egypt and the plagues that came upon the land of Egypt. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. He would not let the people of God, the people of Israel, go out of the land, go from the bondage that they found themselves in. So God sent these awful plagues upon the land. But when each of the plagues was stopped, Pharaoh hardened his heart yet more and refused to let Moses and the people of God go. And then, boys and girls, there came the final plague, the worst of all the plagues, the most devastating of all, death of the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And boys and girls, this was the death angel coming at midnight throughout all the land of Egypt. And every firstborn in every household of the Egyptians would die. Death, boys and girls, death is constantly before us in society. The young die, the middle-aged die, and the old die. Death is an enemy. But this was a judgment that came from God because of the hardness of the heart of Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. And so, boys and girls, imagine the awful situation. Death in every household in the land. But God was going to protect his people Israel. The people of God were going to be protected. God's own people under Moses, the people of God were going to be protected. And boys and girls, God has provided a means whereby his people, those who love him, will be protected. And that protection, boys and girls, in the land of Egypt was by means of a lamb that was slain. And the lamb, the blood of the lamb, was sprinkled on the lintel and the doorposts of the houses of the people of Israel. And so there was a lamb slain in each house, and the blood was applied. And boys and girls, what does that remind us of? Well, boys and girls, it reminds us, it points to the Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And on Calvary's cross, he died. He shed his blood. And boys and girls, as his blood is applied to our hearts, not physically, but by faith, then we are safe in the time when death comes and judgment comes. Boys and girls, we are safe. Just as those Israelites were safe in their houses where the blood was applied, the lamb was slain. So if we take Christ into our heart as our Savior and trust in him, then we will be safe when God's judgment comes in the day of death and in the day of judgment. Boys and girls, this morning, are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you the blood applied? Have you by faith asked Jesus into your heart to take away your sin and to make you a new person? And I trust if you haven't, you will do that today, and you'll have the blood applied, and you'll be safe in the day when death comes. May God help you, boys and girls, to trust in the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, and to have his blood applied to your hearts by faith even today. Now we're going to have this little chorus just through the once, and you can join in the singing of it at home. Jesus' love is very wonderful.
do extend to you again a welcome to our service this morning, wherever you're listening to it, and we trust the Lord will bless you even today. Do remember in our own homes for prayer this afternoon, I trust that you will, and we encourage you to meet even for some time this afternoon in prayer to seek the Lord's face in your own homes. And then the gospel service online tonight at 7 p.m. Trust you'll be able to join us for that. And the subject is the transforming grace of God. And we hope to hear ministry and song from our sister Vivian McCoy tonight as well on that service. Do remember and join us at 7 this evening. And then Wednesday at 8 p.m. is our missionary prayer meeting, and a video will be shown of the work of Faith and Action Missions, represented, of course, by our brother Donald Fleming. That will be shown, and then it'll be followed by a season of prayer in our homes for that work and the missionary work in general. Do please remember that for Wednesday night. The missionary offering for this work can be forwarded to our treasurers or retained until we meet back in church, if you set it aside for that purpose. And then Friday at 8 p.m. is our youth fellowship on Zoom. It's youth council night, and do remember that, young people, and the link will be forwarded to you, to the youth beforehand. We encourage youth. We thank you for all joining in thus far, and for others that haven't yet joined in, we encourage parents and youth themselves to link in on Friday night to our youth fellowship on Zoom. Please remember that. Next Lord's Day, 11:30 and 7, we're meeting again in the same manner, and we trust you'll be able to join with us again as we meet around the Word of God. Do pray for all affected by this virus and other illnesses at this time. We're thankful for those who have known the touch of God in our own congregation with various illnesses and treatments and procedures. Pray for others who are waiting for further treatment and for appointments in days to come. And pray for all who are feeling the effects of the isolation of these times and the restrictions, that the Lord will help us to be patient and get through these next weeks. We're thankful to the Lord for the vaccination process, and the many thousands of people have already had this vaccination. And maybe you have had at least one vaccination already. And we're thankful to the Lord for our health service and all they're seeking to do in these times. And pray, of course, for a divine intervention in our land, our nation, across the world in these days. Our services for now will continue sermon audio, the weekly meditation on Facebook and WhatsApp. Do look out for that. And offerings can be forwarded, as has already been indicated, to either of our treasurers, and we appreciate those who have already done this and already putting their offerings in other ways. Some prefer to retain them until we return, but we thank you one and all for your support spiritually in praying for us, and also in the financial aspect of the life of the church. And this is our building fund, so as we lay aside our offerings, our building fund Sunday, you will do that today, and then, as I say, forward them or retain them as you feel you want to do. Thank you in the Lord's name. We're turning together to another hymn at this stage of our service again, sung on a previous occasion in our church. Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. 497, page 376 of the hymn book. I trust you'll again join in the singing at home of this hymn. Let's stand as we sing. Let us turn to the Word of God this morning. Let us read together from the book of Joshua, chapter 14. We've been in this book in recent weeks. I want to continue there today. Joshua, chapter 14, and let us hear the Word of God. Joshua 14, verse 1. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half tribe on the other side Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee, in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer, and let us seek the Lord's face for his blessing upon his word this morning. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to turn your attention today to the book of Joshua once again. And today's subject is possessing the land. Possessing the land. Joshua had successfully completed the first half of his divine commission, in that he had entered the land and he had, under God, conquered it, and seen the enemy put to flight. He was now with Israel in control of the land and of its cities.
So a great deal had been accomplished and achieved for the glory of the Lord. And now he had to fulfill the second part of that commission and divide the land so that each tribe could claim their inheritance and enjoy that. Enjoy what God had given to them. According to verse 6 of the portion we've read from today. And also if you read Numbers chapter 34 and 35. The word inheritance is found more than 50 times in the 9 chapters that take in this particular section of the book of Joshua. That's chapters 13 to 21. And it's a very important word. The Jews, Israel, inherited this land, the land of Canaan. They didn't win the land as the spoils of battle or purchase their land as in a business transaction. The Lord, who was the sole owner, leased the land to them. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23. And what God required of his people was simply obedience to his law. You go back in Joshua to chapter 8 and verses 30 to 35, you will see that. Their ownership of the land was purely the gracious act of God. But their possession and enjoyment of the land depended upon their submission and obedience to the Lord. And we see that by reading Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy chapters 27 to 30. The promised land, the land of Canaan, was a gift of God's love. And if the Israelites loved the Lord, they would want to obey him and want to please him in every way they used the land. Deuteronomy 4, 37 to 39. Unfortunately, they eventually defied the Lord and disobeyed God's law. And defiled the land. And God had to chasten them in the land of Babylon. But as we look at this section of the book of Joshua, we discover that there are 4 main stages in the distribution of the land to the various tribes of Israel. And in each of these, we will find that there are spiritual lessons for God's people today who want to enjoy their spiritual inheritance in Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, today the commencement of this distribution. And first of all, we see what happened at Gilgal, chapter 13, verse 1 to chapter 17, verse 18. Throughout the conquest of Canaan, Gilgal had been the center of operations for Israel. Later, Joshua moved the camp to a more central location in the land, namely Shiloh, which is referenced there in chapter 18, verse 1. The system of assigning the territories in Canaan is given here in the chapter we have read from, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 14 of Joshua. Eleazar the high priest and Joshua and one representative from each of the tribes cast lots before the Lord and in this way determined God's will. Bible teaches us concerning the casting of the lot in Proverbs chapter 16 verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And so this was the means that God had given of determining his will. And when Joshua relocated the camp, they changed the system in chapter 18, verses 1 to 7. First of all, here we have the 2.5 tribes east of Jordan. They're mentioned in chapter 13 of Joshua, verses 1 to 33. You have Reuben, you have Gad, and you have the half-tribe of Manasseh. They had agreed to help other tribes to conquer the land before they returned to the east side of Jordan to enjoy their inheritance. We read of that in Numbers chapter 32. They had asked for this land outside the boundaries of Canaan because it was especially suited for the raising of cattle. And the fact that these 2.5 tribes would not be living within God's appointed land didn't seem to worry them. Moses had graciously agreed to their choice and let them settle across the Jordan. But when you study the 22nd chapter of Joshua, you will see that their choice may have been good for their cattle, good for them materially, but it created serious problems for their children. You think of the choice that Lot made in Genesis chapter 13, how he pitched his tent toward Sodom, where the land was well watered everywhere. Good pastures. But yet, it was detrimental for Lot and for his family. And these tribes became a sort of buffer zone between the Jews in Canaan and the heathen nations like Ammon and Moab. Of course, their location made them extremely vulnerable, both to military attack and ungodly influences. And both of these liabilities eventually brought about their downfall. And we read of their downfall in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 25 to 26. The boundaries were given for Reuben in the south, chapter 13, verses 15 to 23, for the half-tribe of Manasseh in the north, verses 29 to 32 of that chapter, and for Gad, sandwiched between the two, in verses 24 to 28. My suggestion to you today, and I put it to you, don't become a borderline believer. Rather, enter into the inheritance God has appointed for you and rejoice in it. The Bible tells us in Psalm 47 and verse 4, He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved. Selah. The will of God, in the expression of the love of God, is always the best for us. The will of God, the Bible says, is good and acceptable and perfect. May we choose as Christians to live in the center of God's will, according to God's clear directives, and according as God has clearly commanded. Second, we see the 2.5 tribes west of Jordan, chapter 14, verse 1 to chapter 17, verse 18. You have Judah in the south, chapter 14, verse 6 to chapter 15, verse 63. And then you have Ephraim across the middle of the land, chapter 16, verses 1 to 10. And the other half of Manasseh in the north, in chapter 17, verses 1 to 18. And since Caleb belonged to the tribe of Judah, according to Numbers 13:30, and he had been one of the two faithful spies, he received his inheritance first. Joshua was the other faithful spy, but he was to receive his inheritance last, according to chapter 19, verses 49 to 51. And Caleb revealed his friend and colleague and reminded him of the promise that Moses had made them 45 years before. You see, God is true to his word. The promise was given, and now the promise was being fulfilled to his people. Looking back at the promise in Numbers 14:24, and in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 34 to 36. And that promise related to the fact that they would survive the years of wandering and they would receive the inheritance in the land of promise. And this promise gave Joshua and Caleb joy. It gave them courage as they endured the years of wandering and the years of waiting. You know, waiting time is not wasted time. And we need to be patient. We need to remember to be patient, to do the will of God, not to rush in. God has a purpose in a time of waiting and in a time of wandering, as was the case with the people of God. Christian today, be encouraged in your pilgrim journey. You have received your inheritance in Christ and can claim every spiritual blessing. Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 3. Blessed be God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all, not some, but with all, not with most, but with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have a glorious inheritance before us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verses 3 to 6 reveal that. 1 Peter 1 verses 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Maybe you're going through temptations and trials, as we all do in the course of life, and in these challenging times especially. But keep looking up, believer. The best is yet to come, and the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. Caleb here was 85 years old. He didn't look for an easy road. As we read here this morning in our Bible reading, he said, give me this mountain. He asked Joshua for mountains to climb and giants to conquer. His strength was in the Lord, and he knew that God would never fail him. And you know the secret of Caleb's life is found in a phrase that is repeated 6 times in Scripture. We've read it here in the book of Joshua chapter 14 this morning, verses 8 and 9 and verse 14. You can read it again in Numbers 14, 24, in Numbers 32, 12, and Deuteronomy 1, 36. The fact that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed his God. He was an overcomer through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're never too old to make new conquests of faith in the power of the Lord. Like Caleb, we can capture mountains. We can conquer giants if we wholly follow the Lord, our God. No matter how old we become, we must never retire from trusting and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Be encouraged, older believer, this morning. In chapter 15 of Joshua, verses 13 to 19, we see Caleb providing for the next generation. He wasn't a selfish man. No, he wasn't self-centered in any degree or measure. He thought of the next generation. And you know, brethren and sisters, we have to think of the next generation. We can't be self-centered as Christians. We have to think of those who are coming on behind us, not holding on endlessly ourselves, but willing to pass on the baton to others and to provide for them as far as their work for the Lord. And of course, some of his daring faith rubbed off on his son-in-law, Othniel, who later became a judge in the land according to Judges chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. And Caleb's faith also touched his daughter, for she had faith to ask her father for a field, the Southland, Judges 1:15, and then for springs of water to irrigate the land. Give me the Southland and the springs of water, the upper and nether springs. You see, Caleb's example of faith was more valuable to his family than the property he claimed for them. The older generation must provide for the next generation, of course, materially if you can, but most of all, spiritually. Some people have so much attention to the material things, providing material well-being for their families, that they neglect the spiritual well-being. We ought not to do that. Senior saints must be an example of the believers, as Caleb was, and encourage the younger generation to trust the Lord wholly and follow him. The inheritance of the rest of the tribe of Judah is described in chapter 15, verses 1 to 12, and verses 21 to 63 of that same chapter. In the nation of Israel, the sons inherited the property, but the daughters of Zelophehad saw to it that the daughters weren't discriminated against. Verses 3 to 6 and Numbers chapter 27, verses 1 to 11. And like the daughter of Caleb, these women of faith and courage asked for their inheritance. And God gave them an inheritance too. And so the women folk were not neglected in any way as far as the inheritance for the Lord was concerned. And God wants to give people, the people of God, their inheritance. Ye have not because ye ask not. And so let us ask God in prayer in this regard. And in Jesus Christ, all believers are one. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Galatians 3, 26 to 29. Nothing from your first birth should hinder you from claiming all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ through our second birth, the fact that we are saved by grace through faith. Joshua had a problem with the children of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, who complained because the Lord didn't give them enough room. Chapter 17, verses 14 to 18. We always get the complainers, and sometimes we can be complainers ourselves. You can detect in this their pride. As they told Joshua in verse 14 of that chapter, what a great people they were. After all, didn't Jacob personally and especially bless them? Hadn't they multiplied in a great way? And wasn't Joshua from the tribe of Ephraim? Numbers 13:8. They were a special people, so they thought, and deserved special treatment. And some people think like that. Look at my family. Look where I come from. Look at my heritage. Look at who I am and who my family are. So we deserve special treatment. And if you compare the statistics given in Numbers 1, 32 to 35, and Numbers 26, 34 and 37, you learn that the descendants of Joseph had increased from 72,700 to 85,200. Although Ephraim had 8,000 fewer people. But the six other tribes increased their number since the last census. And thus the children of Joseph weren't the only ones who were being fruitful. God was blessing all his people. God was blessing them all in a way that he saw fit to bless and make them fruitful. And Joshua told his brethren that if they were such a great people, now was their opportunity to prove it. Let them do what Caleb did. Let them defeat the giants. Let them claim the mountains. It's worth noting that the people of Ephraim and Manasseh seemed to be given to criticism and pride. They not only created problems for Joshua, but also later on they created problems for Gideon in Judges 8, and for Jephthah in Judges 12, and for David in 2 Samuel 20. You see, my friends, where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. James chapter 3, verse 16. We ought to avoid strife. We ought to avoid envy. We ought to avoid these things because they create confusion and every evil work. Pride must be abandoned. May the Lord deal with pride in our hearts. The spirit of Diotrephes, who loveth the preeminence, just as these tribes here sought preeminence in their time. So we have often that in the church today. May the Lord deliver us from that. It's not your boasting, but your believing that gives us the victory and gains us new territory. Sometimes those who talk the most accomplish the least. May God help us be those who live the word. Not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. May the Lord help us in this regard. And so we have the commencement of the distribution. But then, secondly, I want to come today to the consolidation of the distribution. What happened at Shiloh, chapter 18, verse 1 through to 1951. Five tribes now had been given their inheritance as Joshua, Eleazar, and the 12 tribal leaders cast lots at Gilgal. And then Joshua moved the camp, as we said later, to Shiloh in the territory of Ephraim, where the tabernacle remained until David moved the ark to Jerusalem in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And the Lord must have directed Joshua to move. Otherwise, he would not have done so. Shiloh, of course, was centrally located. It was more convenient for all the tribes. And seven tribes had to yet have their inheritance marked out for them. Apparently, they were slow to respond to the challenge. Unlike Caleb and the children and the daughters of Zelophehad, these tribes didn't have faith and spiritual zeal. It helped fight battles, defeat the enemy. But now they hesitated to claim their inheritance and enjoy the land God had given to them. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. We must not be slothful. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, the Bible says. We ought not to be given to slothfulness, but all we ought to be given to diligence, as this verse in Proverbs points out. At this point, Joshua and the leaders inaugurated a new system for allocating the inheritance in the land. After each of the seven tribes appointed three men, all 21 men went through the remaining territories, listed the cities, the landmarks describing each part of the land. So it was all very structured. It was all done decently and in order. God's work needs to be done decently and in order. Not in an ad hoc way, but rather decently and in order. And they brought this information back to Joshua, who then assigned the various portions to the remaining seven tribes by casting lots before the Lord. And since Benjamin was the full brother to Joseph, his territory was assigned adjacent to Ephraim and Manasseh. Chapter 18 tells us of that. Verses 11 to 28. And then Simeon shared his inheritance with Judah. Chapter 19 and the first nine verses. And eventually inhabited the cities assigned in chapter 15, verses 21 and following verses. The children of Joseph wanted territory, but they weren't willing to fight for it by faith. But the people had so much land that they shared it with Simeon. What a contrast. What a contrast. Sharing out the land with someone else. The area north of Manasseh was assigned to Zebulun, chapter 19, verses 10 to 16. To Issachar, verses 17 to 23 of that same chapter. And then again in chapter 19, verses 24 to 31, we have Asher getting his part. Naphtali, verses 32 to 39, Zebulun. Later became Galilee of the Gentiles in the Lord's time, in Matthew 4, verses 15 to 16, where the Lord Jesus Christ ministered while he was upon this earth. And the last tribe to receive their inheritance was Dan, chapter 19, verses 40 to 48, which immediately went to work and expanded its territory. And Dan and Benjamin formed a belt across the land, connecting the Dead Sea with the Mediterranean. And being the leader that he was, Joshua waited until the very last to claim his own inheritance. What a humble man he was. Didn't seek position, didn't seek power. The Lord gave him leadership, but he was willing at the end to claim his own inheritance. And the Lord gave him the city of Timnath-Serah, verses 49 to 50. You see the progress that was made under Joshua. He was God's man in the right place at the right time. He was decisive in his leadership. He was diligent. He didn't sit on his hands. He made decisions under God's direction. He got on with the work that needed to be done so that the people of God possessed the land which the Lord had given to them. Brethren and sisters, today we need to do God's work with urgency. According to God's word, in keeping with his will. And may the Lord help us to be Joshua's and Caleb's, as the Lord has told us here concerning them in his word. May we enter into all the inheritance and enjoy all the inheritance and the blessings that are ours in Christ. If you're not saved today, you don't have this inheritance. But thank God you can have it if today you will trust Christ as your Savior. And I pray you will, even before another moment passes. Call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. May the Lord bless his word our hearts today. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt indelibly write the holy truth of thy word upon our hearts. Help us, Lord, to have the spirit of Joshua and Caleb to go through with God in these days. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. Our closing hymn is the words of 467, very appropriate when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still, with all who will trust and obey. 467 on page 364, we trust you'll join in with this hymn that was sung on the previous occasion in our church services.
Thank you for joining us in our morning service here from Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church. Trust the Lord will bless his word to all your hearts. Let us pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.